Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, continuing the story of Lord Chaitanya liberating the Brahmin, the leper Brahmin Vasudev. We heard how he was so much emotionally attached to meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when he came to Kurma Brahmin's house and he found that Lord had already left, he became devastated and overwhelmed with emotions, and he collapsed on the ground. He fainted unconscious, and when he woke up, he was lamenting and felt great feelings of distress. Although Lord Chaitanya had already passed on to another village, within his heart he could feel, oh, my devotee is so much lamenting and so much wanting to meet me. So understanding the heart of his devotee, Vasudeva the leper, Mahaprabhu returned to that village and embraced him. And when Mahaprabhu embraced the leper Brahmin, all of his leprosy was eliminated, and his body became very beautiful, and he himself became overwhelmed with prema by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And then he started offering different prayers to Lord Chaitanya to glorify him, and that's where we left off yesterday. Kintu achilana bala adamahan ebehankara mora janmibe asiya. Being meek and humble, the Brahmin Vasudev worried that he would become proud after being cured by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When a devotee is practicing Krishna consciousness, as he advances in Krishna consciousness, the Lord reveals himself more and more to that devotee as he becomes more intimate and confidential and trusted. As the Lord can trust the devotee more and more, then he accepts him in his confidential circle. And when he accepts the devotee, then he reveals many personal aspects of himself to that devotee. But if the devotee flaunts those revelations, or he uses those revelations or those installments of mercy to increase his own prestige or to increase his own uniqueness or make himself special than the other devotees, then Krishna will withdraw himself from that devotee. So Vasudeva was thinking, I'm a leper Brahmin. I've been driven out of the village. And Krishnas Kairaj was explaining, we read, that even sinful people would avoid him. Even sinful people that are very low and degraded, even they wouldn't mix up with Vasudeva the Brahmin. They considered, as we mentioned, misery likes company. But he was so miserable, he had no company. He was driven out of the village because he had leprosy. He was living on the edge of the village, on the bank of some river in South India. Had no friends, no relatives, nothing. But he had the Lord of his heart, Bhagavan. And now Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has embraced him, cured his leprosy. It says here that he had a very beautiful body. He became very beautiful. Sundaranga, Ananda Sahityanga Sundarahaila. His anga, his body became full of beauty. His heart became full of beauty. And his mind became full of bliss. So he was really transformed. And that, obviously, this is a miracle. Jesus and the Christians, they're always talking about Jesus, the miracles of Jesus. They even write books, I don't know, different miracles. He did so many miracles. Feeding people, food for life, and things like that. He had some food for life program. And then walking on water, instead of paying for the 25 pice for the boatman, he saved his money and walked on the water, walked across the Jordan. So he did different miracles to increase people's faith. So now what miracle Lord Chaitanya has done? So when you're the object of a miracle, then naturally people will come to look at you or see you or get your autograph or something. So he was already on guard. He was already careful. Immediately he was thinking, oh, he says, Kintu achilan mbala adamahan ebe hankara mora janibe asiya. He was very afraid that hankar will come. It will take birth. Hankar janimibe. So now that this miracle has been given, bestowed upon me, now false pride will take birth. It's often when we're given something special, when we receive that special thing, we also receive pride. If we receive beauty, we become proud of beauty. If we received special wealth, suddenly from rags to riches, we become very wealthy, or we get some position, we're in a temple, and we're a normal devotee, and then we get recognized and promoted to some position, temple commander, vice president, even president. Then we may, with that award or that opulence, we may, pride will come with it. It will automatically come. And then we have to see how we respond to that. So here he's very careful. So Lord Chaitanya understands what he's feeling, what he's thinking. So then he says, Prabhu kahe kabu tamar nahabe abhiman nirantara kaha tumi krishna krishna naam. The preacher is the ideal medicine man. He understands and anticipates the various diseases and anomalies that may overcome the conditioned soul or even devotees. So he ministers the right medicine at the right time. Lord Chaitanya had said, to protect the Brahman, the leopard Brahman Vasudeva, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him to chant the Hare Krishna mantra incessantly. By doing so, he would never become unnecessarily proud. Kabu tamara nahabe abhiman. Abhiman, the mentality, abhiman. Abhiman, or mentality of being something great or something special, which is obvious. If you have leprosy, which is a fatal disease, there's no cure for leprosy. It simply eats away your body, and all these worms are falling off your body. And Vasudeva was picking the worms up and putting them back in the same place so they could continue their meal without interruption. He was so considerate. If he put them in a different wound, maybe they wouldn't recognize the taste over there. So he put them back in exactly the same place, Krishna's Kaviraj said. He makes a point of that. Now he has a beautiful body. He has attained blissful love of God. And now Lord Chaitanya is saying, don't worry, you won't have any abhiman. This will not come to you, this false mentality, this mentality of pride or thinking yourself special or independent or unique. This will not come. Why will this not come? Or how will this not come? By nirantara, it says, nirantara kaha tumi krishna krishna naam. We often see this verse or this word in our readings of these stories, nirantara. Oftentimes Lord Chaitanya is instructing someone. Remember, we talked about the story of the Brahmin. Oh, it's Chokidar's kids. That part of the afternoon show. Oftentimes when Lord Chaitanya is instructing someone, he always uses this word, nirantara. He told the Korma Brahmin that you should chant, you stay here in the village and you chant incessantly. You chant the holy name, nirantara. Anta means end, anti lila, and nira means no end. So chant without end. There is no end to Krishna's names, he has unlimited names, and there's no end to chanting, and you can never reach the end of chanting, and don't stop chanting, and always chant. Kirtaniya sada hari, nirantara Krishna. He says, nirantara kahatumi Krishna Krishna nam. Why was Lord Chaitanya saying Krishna Krishna? Because here, at this point in his sojourn through South India, Lord Chaitanya was deeply submerged in the ocean of Mahabhav. Well, let's say he was floating at this time. He was floating because he had already met Ramananda Roy in Godavari. Now he's gone on further South India. So he's floating in this ocean of Radharani's Mahabhav, relishing it. And only one word comes out of Garanga's mouth at this time. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey. Oh, Keshava. Oh, Krishna Keshava. You used to dress my hair. You used to brush my hair. Where are you? Where is my hair? Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. Oh, Keshava, you protected me. You protected me from Cupid by brushing my hair. You're the Pahimam, protector. But where are you now, and where is my hair? Because Mahaprabhu has no hair. And he's calling out Krishna Keshava. Kesha means hair. Kesha, one who is very expert at brushing and dressing hair, is called Keshava. So these are the names that Mahaprabhu in Radhabhav was calling as he moved through South India. So he's telling Vasudeva, the leper Brahman, Nirantara Krishna 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 Krishna. Because he himself was doing it. So this is the Acharya. The Acharya, he only tells someone to do what they're doing. Whatever they're doing which is appropriate to their adhikar, he will tell them to do. So chanting Krishna's name without cease, without end, is always appropriate for everyone at every stage of development. So he said, this is the way to keep from becoming proud. Because part of being proud is that you have to announce your glories. You have to speak something. Do you know what happened to me? No, really, what happened? Or someone may tell something about their glories. They'll say, I did this and I did that and this happened to me and that happened. And you'll say, yes, yes, yes. And you're only waiting for a chance to announce your glories and what happened to you. That's really interesting. That's really exciting what happened to you. Do you know what happened to me? And then he says, oh, do tell. And then you say, you know, you did this much, I did this much. And you did this much, and I did this much. It's called one-upmanship. That whatever, however far up you are, I'm a little bit more up than you are, man. One-upmanship. So this is the rally of pride, or the circus of pride, which people move in. So it necessitates some announcements, some speaking about your own accomplishments, experiences, realizations. We remember when we first joined ISKCON in Los Angeles, there was one devotee that was always telling about his realizations. Oh, Krishna, I had these realizations yesterday. I kept thinking, wow, he has so many realizations. He's highly realized. I was a new devotee, so I was thinking, he's really highly realized that every day he's having 5 or 10 realizations. And all I'm doing is chanting Hare Krishna and trying to sell a few books and take prasad, take rest, hear some classes, read. I'm not realizing anything. I'm just going on like, you know, going day to night, day, you know, sunrise to sunset. And I keep thinking, Krishna, why can't I get these some realizations? He has so many realizations. I was awed by him because he always had so many realizations he was sharing. Then after a few years, he left. They merged into the Mahamaya. And I was thinking, I don't know what all his realizations, what was the conclusion of all his realizations. But everyone was very impressed. So this is a way of kind of like, it was sort of accumulating, there was an expression of his pride that he had these realizations. And he would always phrase it like that. I had this, oh, Prabhu, listen to this realization I had. And so if there's some pride there, we may have realizations, and certainly we should have, and we do have. And we can share them, but it should be done in a way that this doesn't make anyone feel bad or make us, put us in a better position. Sharing is an expression of love, not an expression of ego, not an expression of envy. The devotee's mood is always to put everyone else up, not to put himself up. Because Lord Chaitanya has already identified our position. Our position is sunichena. Sunichi. Nichi means low or down, and su means very down. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, please assume your positions. On an airplane, they tell everyone, please fasten your seat belts. We are going to land. So everyone takes that position of fastening their seat belt. So in Krishna consciousness and Gaudiya Vedanta, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is advising everyone, please take your position. Right? Sunichena. Fasten a seatbelt around your ego. Of course, you have to have a big, well, in our case, we need a really big seatbelt. I don't think they make them. For the standard aircraft seatbelt will not fit around the width of length and depth or whatever of our ego. But he's saying, get down, mister. Lower than a straw on the street. Trinada means a piece of grass which we're sitting on. So we should go to the grass and ask him to please move over a little bit, that we want to sit underneath him. And that is our position. So in preaching or in attempting to help others or share with others, we should be operating from this position. Our base of operation should be Sunichena Stan. Stan means a place of humility. Where our preaching work is done from the base of humility, not from the towers or top of the Himalayas. So Lord Chaitanya said, don't worry. If you're always chanting Hare Krishna, you will never become unnecessarily proud. Abhiman, he said this, there will be not, nahabe abhiman. Because he used the word abhiman. He said, I'm afraid of abhiman. He said, nahabe. It won't happen. Abhiman will not happen. Where's the chance if you're nirantara Krishna Krishna? Well, when Lord Chaitanya was cleaning Gundicha, everyone was throwing water here and there and squeegees and moving the water all around, cleaning the Gundicha temple. And no one was saying anything but Hari Hari, Hari Hari, Hari Hari, Hari Hari, Hari Hari. It means Hari Hari means throw the water on the ceiling. Hari Hari means push it push it along the floor. Hari Hari means sweep it out the door. Hari Hari means bring more water. So they were communicating everything simply by saying Hari Hari. So if the only sound that comes out of our mouth is Krishna's name, then we won't get in trouble. Alright? Trouble starts when we stop chanting, then the trouble starts. We remember years ago in America, there was this phenomenon of deprogramming, where these parents would catch their children with some thugs or gundas, heavy people. Then they would try to deprogram them. So he interviewed one of these leading deprogrammer type people. His name was Ted Patrick. And he said on television, national television, I seen these Hare Krishnas. They got to chant. They got to chant. If they stop chanting, they start thinking. If they start thinking, then they'd be stopped chanting. So they have to always be chanting. It's very humorous with his accent, which was somewhat a colored accent, let's say. His accent was colored with various inflections. If they stop chanting, they start thinking. But actually, our chanting is a perfect expression of our highest conception. Because thinking means conception. And when your thinking brings you to the highest conception, that highest conception is called the Krishna conception. This is a term that Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev used to use, the Krishna conception. So this is the sign of intelligence. Intelligence will lead us to surrender. Surrender to whom? Not to anyone in this world, but to surrender to the absolute person. And when we surrender to Sri Krishna, then that is the proper intelligence. That is the fullest expression of thought. When thought brings us to God, and thought brings us to surrender, then we surrender to God and say, Krishna, 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 hey. There's nothing more. So then, there's no chance for false ego. There's no airtime for false ego. All the airspace has been taken by Krishna Nam. Nirantara Krishna Nam, Krishna Krishna Lao. Krishna Upadeshi Kara Jivera Nistar Achirate Krishna Toma Kari Bhena Angikar. Mahaprabhu gave further instruction by advising Vasudeva to preach about Krishna and liberate living entities. As a result, Krishna would very soon accept him as his devotee. Karibena Angikar. 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 It means actually, Angikar means to take your body, literally. If you preach, Krishna will take your body. Angi. Angikar. He will take your body. In the translation, he will accept you. So if someone takes your body away, that means they're accepting you. Because our existence is limited within the confines of this body. So it says that Achirate, Achira means very soon. Achirate Krishna Toma Karibena Angikar. Krishna will take you away. He'll take you to his land and take away this body even. When Krishna accepts you, ultimately he takes away this body. First he takes away our attachment to the body. Then he takes away this body and gives us a spiritual body. And that body we forever serve him. So here in this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking for dakshin. Guru Dakshin. Dakshin means to show the gratitude for the teachings received from Guru and the mercy received from Guru. So he received Nam. He was initiated. He received the holy name from the lips of Lord Chaitanya, Prem Nam, Krishna Krishna Nirantara. So now he's saying, now I've initiated you. I've given you a mantra. Because in Krishna Nam is everything is there. We say Krishna mantra. Gopal mantra is called Krishna mantra. But what is this Krishna mantra, Gopal mantra? It's simply Nam Sankirtan. Kling Krishnaya Govindaya. So Krishna's name is there. So when Prem Purushottam Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he speaks Krishna's name in your ear, then he's given you everything. He's initiated you all the way with the fullest prayojana of Krishna Prem. Because everything is in that name. Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela. Krishna, Krishna. This is the topmost name of Krishna. There's no better name of all the names of the Lord that are Mukhya, or primary names, or Prem Nam. Krishna, Krishna is the best. So then after giving him this name, then he says, so now I want you to do something, some dakshin. You have to do some seva. What is that seva? Preach. Preach to others. Preach about Krishna and liberate living entities. And then what will happen? Then Krishna will take your body. He will accept you. So this is the debt. Every disciple has a debt to the spiritual master. Prabhupada's purport. Although the leper, Brahman, Vasudev, Vipra, had suffered greatly, still, after Mahaprabhu cured him, he instructed Vasudev to preach Krishna consciousness. Indeed, the only return the Lord wanted was that Vasudev preach the instructions of Krishna and liberate all human beings. This is the process of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Each and every member of this society was rescued. It's a very interesting purport. Prabhupada is giving us something of the content of our own diaries. Our personal diaries should have phrases like this. Yes, my guru, he has rescued me. My guru has rescued me from a very horrible and abominable situation. And Prabhupada is giving us the wording for our diary entries. Each and every member of this society was rescued from a very abominable condition. So we have to appreciate and remember, because we tend to forget. When one becomes suddenly rich, if a rickshaw wala suddenly inherits $10 million and starts living in a very high standard and fancy cars and house, he will very soon forget he was a rickshaw wala after 5 or 10 years of wallowing in luxury and opulence. And if one of his old rickshaw wala friends comes to him and says, hey, don't you remember the days when we were driving a rickshaw? Huh, me? Rickshaw? No, you have somebody else. It wasn't me. He'll be covered. He'll be forgetting due to his new position. So forgetfulness is always an ever-present function of the external energy, covering us and forgetting, making us forget who we are, who we were, what we are even, or what we're to be. Even we forget what we are to become, what we are hankering for or endeavoring to attain. We often forget that. We forget the goal. We forget the goal of Krishna consciousness. And certainly we forget, and we should forget to some extent, our previous activities. But at the same time, there's part of us that should remember it in terms of remember how Guru has saved me. So Prabhupada is saying here, each and every member of this society was rescued from a very abominable condition. So we have to remember, what was that abominable condition? Do you remember? Can you even remember? Probably not. Oh, I thought I was always eating Mahaprasadam and chanting Hare Krishna. I thought I was always absorbed in serving the Vaishnavas and living in like this type of life. Was there any other life? I don't remember. because we asked someone, what were you doing last month? I don't remember. I think I was in Krishna consciousness or trying. What to speak of 30 years ago, 20 years ago? So then Prabhupada said, they were all rescued from a very abominable condition, but now they are engaged in preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness. They, the members of ISKCON, or any devotee who takes Diksha, they're not only cured of the disease called materialism, but are also living a very happy life. Everyone accepts them as great devotees of Krishna, and their qualities are manifest in their very faces. We were talking about that this morning, about bright face. If one wants to be recognized as a devotee by Krishna, he should take to the preaching work, following the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one will undoubtedly attain the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Krishna himself, without delay. So Prabhupada is taking advantage of this verse spoken by Lord Chaitanya to Vasudeva the leper Brahman to firmly established the basic principles of ISKCON. Like Vasudev had leprosy, which was a disease of his physical body. And then Prabhupada is saying, we're also in an abominable situation. It's abominable to have leprosy and pus and oozing all over your body and open sores and worms and very painful. So it's also abominable to have been trapped or to be trapped in a disease by the disease of materialism. So he says, this disease of materialism, we were cured of that. As Vasudeva was cured of his leprosy by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Mahaprabhu coming through Guru and through Prabhupada's ISKCON, for he's speaking to his disciples in this mission, we were all cured of disease of materialism by the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And so, as Vasudeva felt some debt and felt some gratitude, then Prabhupada is reminding us we should also feel grateful for being cured of this disastrous disease or this abominable disease of materialism, and take up and try to pay back our dakshin. Our paying our debt back means to preach. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Vasudeva, now you're cured, your body is beautiful, and no more disease is there. Now you have to do something. You have some debt, you have some responsibility. You've been given something, you've received something, now you should distribute. Now you should preach to others and liberate them. So Prabhupada is saying the same thing. Members of ISKCON, we received a great gift, so we should show our appreciation for this gift by helping others. This is basically the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness. And as Lord Chaitanya assured, he gave an assurance to Vasudeva the leper Brahmin, do this and you'll get this. This will happen to you. You follow my instruction, you preach, you help others, and what will happen? Achirate Krishna Toma Kari Bena Angikar. Achirena, very, very soon, Krishna himself, he will accept you. He will accept you as his own. You will become one of his intimate servants in the spiritual world. This is the way, the inside road or the fast track to acceptance by Krishna. In innumerable places, Prabhupada would say, if you want to be recognized by Krishna, then preach. And he wasn't just speaking from the top of his head. First of all, he was speaking from his own experience, because he certainly preached a lot. He was writing and writing and writing, and any piece of blank paper he could find, he would write some essay or some article on it. And people would write envelopes, they would write letters to him. And of course the letter was written on both sides of the paper, especially when Indians are writing to each other. Western style, they may write on one side of the paper but not the other. They write a 4-page letter and it's only writing on one side of the page. I've often received letters like that. But if an Indian writes a letter to somebody, it's every inch of that paper is covered with some words. So then the outside of the envelope also has the address, but then inside the envelope there's nothing written. So Prabhupada would get the envelopes and open them and turn the inside, and then he would write essays on the inside, on that blank space inside the envelope. So much absorbed he was in trying to express and preach and formulate the ideas of Krishna consciousness. This was in the 40s and 50s, writing, writing, writing. And even now we're relishing essays that he wrote, 60 years ago. The message of, what was it called? Search for Liberation, or was that Ramananda Sambhag? There's one book that was published by Narasringa Maharaj. It was an essay that Prabhupada wrote 1940s or something about the teaching. It was Prabhupada's commentaries on the teachings of Ramananda Roy. It's called Ramananda Sambhag. And that's chapter 8 of Madhya Lila. It's very intimate, and it's the whole essence of Krishna consciousness, or the service of Radharani and Manjari Bhav and Gopi Bhav, is revealed there. And so many things are rejected there. Karma Samarpan, Sannyas, Varnashram Dharma, Bhagavad Gita is also rejected, because Lord Chaitanya says, this is external, go higher. So then Ramananda says, well, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Pratyaja, abandon all Varnas and Ashrams. And Lord Chaitanya says, Bahir Age Koro, this is external, go higher. Bhagavad Gita is external? How is this? Well, this is all there in the Ramananda Sambhag, chapter 8 of Madhya Lila. So higher than that, of course, is Braj Bhakti, is Dasya Bhav, and Sakya Bhav, Matsalya, Madhurya, Gopi Bhav, like this. And he got to Prema Vaivart when Ramananda Roy began to speak that actually the highest thing is Prema Vaivart. That when dealings of Radha and Krishna at the level of Mahabhav and Madhuriya Bhav, the intimacies of exchange and the depths of the bhavas that they're feeling, they created extraordinary sense of bewilderment or vivart. And vivart means transformation and bewilderment and prem, vivart. And then Lord Chaitanya put his hand on Ramananda's mouth and said, okay, that's about as high as we want to go right now. Prem vivart. And this is told in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is the how the devotee, he feels, he remembers this, and he tries to become recognized by giving to others whatever little bit or whatever he's received from his guru. Etika kahiya prabhu kaila antardan dui vipra galagali kande prabhu ragun. After instructing the Brahmin Vasudev in that way, Mahaprabhu disappeared from that place. It says antardhane. It has disappeared. Literally means he went inside somewhere. He entered between in a space or something. Then the two Brahmins, Korma and Vasudev, embraced each other and began to cry, remembering the transcendental qualities of Mahaprabhu. Vasudevo dhara e kahila akyan Vasudeva amrita prada haila prabhurnam. This story can be called Vasudeva Udara Akyan, if you want to be technical. Akyan, like Vakya, or Akyan means narration. The narration of the Udar. Udar means welfare work, or it means the narration of giving liberation, Udar, to Vasudev. We have that verse, it's about being born in India. Or what is it? Udar. Manasa Janma Jara. What's that verse? Manasa. Bharata Bhumate Hoile Manasa Janma Sartaka Karapara Upakar. Well, that's the difference. Upakar. But Upakar is the same. Udar. Udar means welfare work. Udhar. To do welfare work. Or to help others. So the story is called that. And then, then the last verse, Krishna's coverage says, Etak hila prabhur pratama gaman korma darashana vasudeva vimochan. Thus I end my description, beginning with the tour of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu visiting the temple of Korma Kshetra and is liberating a leper Brahman Vasudeva. Shraddha kari e lila jay kari shravan achirati milaye tare chaitanya charan. Anyone who hears this pastime Mahaprabhu with great faith, Shraddha, will surely, Achirate, very soon attain the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Charan, Milaye, means you meet, you'll meet them. Prabhupada's purport. When a person actually revives his Krishna consciousness with thoughts of Krishna, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revives his spiritual life and becomes addicted to the service of the Lord. Only then can he act as an acharya. In other words, everyone should engage in preaching, following the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, one will be very much appreciated by Lord Krishna and will be quickly recognized by him. Actually, a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must engage in preaching in order to increase the followers of the Lord. By thus preaching actual Vedic knowledge all over the world, one will benefit all mankind. This is a very, again, Prabhupada's repeating this point of encouraging everyone how beneficial is the preaching work and how helpful it is for the individual preacher and how much it will benefit the entire world by pleasing Lord Chaitanya. Practically speaking, this is the meaning of a Gaudiya Vaishnava. A Gaudiya Vaishnava can't stay silent. He can't stay quiet. He has to speak about his Lord. In other traditions, we have, even other Vaishnava traditions, Ramanandi Sadhus and others, they have a tradition of mon brat, to take a vow of silence and just to chant their mantra in their mind silently, their guru mantra, or to meditate on their Ishtadev for months at a time. But in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, this is not, it's not very much done. Sometimes some yogi type Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they do moan because probably or usually they're following some line. Like, for example, we have one friend, his name is Vinod Bihari Baba. He's right now practicing moan for 1 month. And he's a disciple of a famous Siddha, Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddha saint of Vrindavan, Tinkuri Goswami. Tinkuri Goswami, he would also do moan. That was his daily practice. He would chant, they say, I don't know, but it said he was chanting 3, 4, or 5 lakhs a day of holy name. He would get up very early in the morning and he would chant until he finished his Sankhya Purvaka Gana, Nama Gana Natavi. Then in the evening sometime, whenever he finished his 5 lakhs or whatever of Nam, then he would speak something, a little bit. You could imagine how powerful that was. So Prabhupada, he doesn't so much, he never encouraged us to do moan. Not that it's wrong or it's right, but it wasn't given as a process or part of our bhajan to do moan. In Bhagavad Gita, he says that the vow of silence means to take a vow to only speak about Krishna. Because if you take a vow of moan, it's very beneficial for you. And if you're chanting Hare Krishna, that's... But no one else really gets benefit. Moan Brata may give you some extra power or whatever. But speaking about Krishna also gives you power. either way, I mean, basically the bottom line is follow your guru. And Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, they were relentlessly and endlessly writing and speaking and glorifying Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna. So as much as we are able to, we should try to follow in their footsteps. Everyone should engage in preaching, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu didn't do Moan Brata either. Right? He was always speaking or crying. Personally, we did Moan Brata a couple times, just to have the experience. Because for us, we don't have anything to say about Krishna, so it's better we keep quiet. And you have two choices, either speak and always speak about Krishna, or be quiet. So if you have nothing to say about Krishna, and you have a forced moan brata. But the in-between position is that you're not speaking about Krishna, and you're not observing moan, but you're speaking prajalpa. Well, this is better that one does moan, than speak or moan, which means vow of silence, than he speaks prajalpa. But better than moan, at least according to our acharyas, is to always speak about Krishna. Satatam kirtiyantamam yatantascha jridavrata. Krishna says in Gita, Satatam Kirtan. Kirtan means loudly, and Satatam means always. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Right? Monia Sadahari. Always do moan. I never said. He said, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Right? So we have to think. Because sometimes we see someone doing something and we become attracted. Oh, I like to do that. Is it? So we have to see, is this our tradition? That's again along the lines of what we were discussing about the Rupa Sanatan Padati. What is our Padati? What is our process of perfection? So we should follow. That's called Sajatiya Snigda, to follow our line of bhajan, our line of practice, our line of perfection. So Rupa and Sanatan, they gave us this line of always hearing and speaking about Krishna in association of Vaishnavas. That is it. That's what they did. They would sit every day. After the offering was made for Damodar, then they would gather behind the deities, one small room there, and Jiva would be there, and Sri Haridas Pandit would be there, and Subhuti Roy would sometimes come, and Raghunath Bhatta would come from his Gera over by Radhavallabh Temple, or the Sringa Temple. Raghunath Bhatta, Jiva, and Rupa Goswami, Sanatan, 5, 6 different devotees would gather there, and sit it and take honor a little bit of Mahaprasada and then speak 3-4 hours throughout the afternoon about Radha and Krishna's glories and Mahaprabhu's glories. Because imagine They're part of both those leelas, Radha Krishna and Mahaprabhu. So this is our way. This is our path of perfection. Sarasanga, sarasanga, sarvashastra hoy, lavamatra sarasanga, sarvasiddhi hoy. Is there any questions about this story? We'll go to the next story. Next story is very interesting. It's called Kalidas. Kalidas, the nectar hound. This is the speaker's subtitle. Like we gave the title of this last story was Mahaprabhu liberates Vasudeva the leper Brahmin. But if you want to be official, it should be called, what do we say? Vasudeva Dhara Akyan. This is for those who dabble in Sanskrit and Bengali, which excludes me. Vasudeva Dhara Akyan. The narration of the, giving liberation to Vasudeva. Right? So if you don't know that and you know English, then we can say Mahaprabhu liberates Vasudeva - the leper Brahmin. Take your choice. It's very nice sounding in Sanskrit, no doubt. Like we say Ramananda Samvag. And then someone says, "What do you say?" Then we say talks between Lord Chaitanya and Rai Ramananda. Oh, that's what you mean. Because if you go to the Gaudiya Math or something, and someone says, "So in this Ramananda Samvag, we see that there are 12 questions that Lord Chaitanya." Someone, "Hey, what's this? What is this Ramananda Samvag? I didn't." It's chapter 8, Stu. It says, "Sri Chaitanya talks all that." So it's like the technical terms can trip you up sometimes. But this is because the original language is Sanskrit and Bengali, and everything else is the explanation. So if there are no comments or questions, we'll go on to hear the glories of Kalidas Mahima. Yes? Maybe everyone's too sleepy to say yes or no. Post prasadam class. This is a story of Kalidas, the nectar hound. This is from Anti Leela, chapter 16, verse 4 through 49, and then again the story picks up in 55 through 67. Varshantare Aila Sabha, Goder Bhaktagan, Purvavata Asti Kaila Prabhura Milan. The next year, as usual, all the devotees from Bengal went to Jagannath Puri, and as in previous years, there was a meeting between Mahaprabhu and all the devotees. This is Chaturmasya, which is happening now. Right before Chaturmasya, about 8 or 9 days before Chaturmasya, sometimes even 3 weeks before, the devotees from Bengal and Shantipur and Shrikanda, they would come to Puri to spend the 4 months of the rainy season with Lord Chaitanya. They would observe Snanyatra, Rathyatra, Dolayatra, Chandanyatra, all these wonderful festivals, but mostly they would observe Lord Chaitanya. They would observe the Gauranga Utsav, the festival of Lord Chaitanya, and his leelas and his teachings and pastimes.
Happy Diwali.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Under job. Thank you. Thank you very much. Girirad Dharana Ki Jai. Girirad Anukut Utsav Ki Jai. Happy Diwali. Thank you. A row of lights. Avali means a series of avali, one after the other, a succession of lights. So sometimes the gopis, they are berating Krishna, rebuking Krishna. If he comes, if he was supposed to meet Radharani in a particular kunja and he comes late because he was detained by some Vipaksha Sakhi, whom we won't mention her name, but when the gopis, when Radharani's Paksha Sakhis or Paksha Gopis, her party, her friendly party, Lalita Vishakha and others, when they meet Krishna on the path on the way to the appointed Sanket Kunj, or the Sanket Kunj, to meet Radharani, they say, "Where are you going?" Where are you going? Well, I'm going to meet Radharani. And he said, so it's obvious that you've come from some other place. Well, haven't you learned by now that even if you have row after row after row after row of moons, so many shining moons, the light of all those moons cannot equal one speck of light which is coming from the toenails of our Banu Nandini. So in this way, they're giving Krishna a hard time because this word Chandravali is the name of Radharani's rival. Chandravali means a row after row after row, many, many moons, a line of moons, you know, a line of full moons, 1, 2, 3, 4, many, 10, like 10, 8, 9, 10 full moons in a row. That's a lot of light. It's a lot of light, 10 or 12 full moons in a row, or a series of a row of. And Lalita Sakhi, she's saying, haven't you learned by now that even 12 full moons, the shining and glamour and glimmer and radiance of 12 full moons shining in the evening sky cannot equal just one ray from one toe of Banu Nandini. Banu Nandini means the daughter of Brishabhanu. And Banu also means sun. The word Banu means sun. So all of these moons don't equal one ray from the sun of our Swamini, Srimati Radharani. So when you say Happy Diwali, we have to think of Banu Nandini. Diwali becomes Chandravali, and then Chandravali becomes Banu Nandini. So we want to thank you for reminding us of Banu Nandini. Not everyone's thinking Damodar means Yashoda Damodar. But for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Damodar means Radha Damodar. Because in Brahmavivart Puran, there's the pastime where Radharani ties up Krishna in this month with a group of Lata. Samalati Lata. These are Malati Latas. So they're very convenient. They're climbing up the trees. And you see how thick they are. They become very thick and stout. And here they start off green. And they become like trees. So when Krishna comes late, and Radharani says, what is this? And she just breaks some of those off the trees. An instant rope. And she puts them around Damodar. Binds them up like a thief. Says, You'll learn your lesson. You'll never come late again to meet me in this Kunj. So this is Radha Damodar. That Damodar that is bound by the unlimited love of Srimati Radharani. Because Mother Yashoda, certainly she binds Krishna with her Vatsalya Bhav. But no one can bind Krishna like Radharani with her Mahabhav. Because Vatsalya Bhav is a special type of Bhav. It's the affection of a parent. But Mahabhav is all the Bhavs. It's everything combined and more. So therefore she binds Radharani more than anyone. So now we're starting Radhisham. Now we're starting the story of Kalidas. And all the devotees have come from Bengal to spend 4 months with Mahaprabhu in Puri. Tansabara Sangayaila Kalidasanam Krishnanam Abhinateno Nahi Kahayan. Along with the Bengali Vaishnavas came a gentleman named Kalidas. He never uttered anything but the holy name of Krishna. It's interesting how these stories, without any pre-plan, they seem to go back to back. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing this Vasudeva the leper, he said, Nirantara Krishna Krishna Nam. He said, chant Krishna Krishna without cessation. And we're speaking about this point, Kirtaniya Sadhari, and then Satatam Kirtiyantam. And then we start the story. And what is the lakshana, or the characteristic of this Vaishnava? First, Krishnadas Kaviraj introduces him. He's a gentleman. He didn't say he was a rickshawwala. He said he's a gentleman. He said, Tan Sabara Sangha Yaila Kalidasanam Krishnanam Avinateno Nahi Kahayan. Of course, Lord, that's actually Prabhupada's interjection. It just says that Tan Sabara Sangha, one person named Krishnadas, Kalidas, he doesn't say Krishnanam Bina Teno Nahi Kahayan. He doesn't say anything but the holy name of Krishna. So Prabhupada, although the word gentleman is not here in the Bengali, word for word you will not find, but in Prabhupada's translation, he is giving what's called Bhavichara. Because there is the direct meaning, and then there's the Parokshavad. Parokshavad means the implied meaning. The words in Sanskrit or Bengali, they say this. And then, according to your bhav, according to your adhikar, and according to the level of your own prem, or attachment to Krishna, you will see so much between the lines, or implied meaning. So Prabhupada is seeing that what is told specifically in Bengali, that among all the Bengali devotees that came there, there was one, his name was Kalidas. This is in Bengali. And what else does it say in Bengali? He was always chanting the holy name of the Lord. So putting this together, Prabhupada is saying, yes, someone who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord, he is a gentle man. So therefore, Prabhupada puts this word gentleman, because he will not say dhira admi or any kind of word that indicates gentle or saralata or anything like this. It's not there. So this is called a bhav vichar, consideration. His own bhav is mixed here in this verse, and this is called realization. That's why it's often said, if one is not a very highly advanced Vaishnava, he cannot translate transcendental literatures. What to speak of purport. Because I have direct experience, because myself and Banaswami are trying to translate and produce very deep literatures in English. And oftentimes we meet advanced Vaishnavas and they tell us, you guys are missing the point. And then we say, Maharaj, we're doing the best we can. Our adhikar is only this much. We're trying. And hopefully this poorly presented version of these great classics will inspire the experts to bring out the proper version. This is part of our motivation. At any rate, as Prabhupada once said, blind uncle is better than no uncle. So we like to call this, we have the BBT, and our book company is called BUP, Blind Uncle Productions. There's BBT and BUP, BUP, Blind Uncle Productions. So something is better than nothing. So the Sarartha Darshini comes out, and people say, oh, this is very good. It's something. It's not the best of things, but it's something. It's going in the right direction. So Prabhupada, he is, from this realized position of pure bhakti, he is able to actually see this person, Kalidas, while he's translating. He's seeing this lila, and his lila sporti. And he's translating, he's understanding, and he's realizing, this is truly the symptom of a gentleman. A gentleman is one who is always resting his mind and heart at the feet of Krishna. And because his mind and heart are always resting at the feet of Krishna, he feels inspired by the force of love to glorify his beloved. So the force of love will make his tongue move, and he'll say, Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna. So he is a gentleman. Now more details. Mahabhagavata teno sarala udhar, Krishna nama sankete chalaya vyavahar. Kalidas was a very advanced devotee. Mahabhagavat, teno sarala, sarala udhar. Yet he was simple, sarala, and liberal, udhar. As I mentioned, udhar means liberal or working for others. Udhar means big, like we say dam udhar. Udhar is like belly or vast, a vastness. There's a vastness, there's a bigness or a vastness in the heart. So sometimes this word udhar means vastness or bigness, and it's also used to explain for welfare work. If someone is doing welfare work or helping others, that's called udhar. Because his heart is so vast, his heart is so expanded due to the import of transcendental feelings and sentiments that he feels, I must help others. I must really help others and spread to others and expand to others. So this is udhar. Udhar work. Udhara. So he was udhar. Krishnam sankhe chalaya vyavahar. Kalidas was a very advanced devotee, yet he was simple and was liberal. He would chant the holy name of Krishna while performing all his ordinary dealings. Krishnam sankhet. San means like along with, or saha. Saha or sankhet, mixing with. Chalaya. Chalaya vyavahar. Chalaya vyavahar. That means whatever he was doing, his ordinary dealings, he was always... When we joined, I remember we joined in ISKCON, and one of our services was to take out the trash. Get all the trash, little trash cans, and put them in the big trash can. Then push the big trash can to some place where a big truck would come and take the big trash can. Empty it, right? So I was always praying that all these little trash cans are actually inside my heart. And there's so much trash in my heart, and I'm taking it to the dumpster. And I want to dump all my trash into the dumpster. So I was only thinking like this, but I wasn't chanting. And one devotee from the temple, he said, oh, what are you doing? And I was a new devotee. I was very new. So I said, I'm performing devotional service. This is bhakti yoga. He said, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. Because, you know, when you're new, you argue. I said, Temple Commander asked me to do this service. This is my service. This is my devotional service. And this is my bhakti. He said, no, unless you're chanting, if you're moving around, you're doing some type of service, but unless you're chanting, it's not devotional. Unless chanting is mixed in with what you're doing, it's not devotional. The chanting, when you mix your chanting with whatever you're doing, then Krishna accepts it. That was like third day in the temple. And it came down on my head like a load of bricks or something. What is that? You know, boom, you know, like big rock on my head. I said, all right, Hare Krishna, give me that trash can, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So I said, instruction was quite correct, actually. That we're hearing, this is the characteristic that even Sankhet Chalaya, Krishnanam Sankhete Chalaya Vyavahar, that even in Vyavahar, even in ordinary dealings, this Kalidas, he was chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So these are, see the characteristics. He's a gentleman. He doesn't ever say anything but Krishna's name. He's a Mahabhagavat. He's Udar, he's liberal and helping others. At the same time, he's Sarala. He's very simple. Simple means not that he's a simpleton or an imbecile or a fool, but he's very straightforward in his dealings. He lives with the minimum amount of amenities and the amount of possessions, and he's transparent. What you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. It's not that there's an outside is one thing and inside is another thing. He's transparent. His words, his heart, his mind, it's all like you look through a piece of glass. You can see from inside the room, outside. So from inside his heart, from his heart to his mind, to his words, to his actions, it's transparent. This is called Saralata. It's not like your heart is shining with white light and then you put a blue screen through it. Then some blue light comes. Then in front of the blue screen, you put a yellow screen. Then after the blue and yellow screen, then you get green light. So these different colored lights are coming. It's not Saralata. It's not transparency. Thinking one thing, speaking another, feeling one thing, saying another. This is not Saralata. So generally this quality of Saralata is rare to find. Especially in the material world, it's not to be found. It's what they call an extinct quality. This quality is extinct, along with dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are also extinct. But if you enter the spiritual circle, then you'll find that this is your entrance. This is the quality which grants entrance into the circle of spiritualists, being Saralata. So by chanting the holy name, according to the instructions of Mahaprabhu, this divine quality will descend into our heart and manifest and give us the association of devotees, because this is our purchasing ticket to be Saralata. And then we can get the association of advanced Vaishnavas. Is there any questions? I'll stop here. Maharaj?
Reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it speaks about pastimes which for the sensitive ear will lead us to understand Radha and Krishna. Ultimately, through Nitai, we approach Mahaprabhu and then we're allowed access to Radha Krishna. You see a parallel in some of the pastimes of Krishna Leela. For example, you mentioned in the month of Varadamadar, we're singing pastime glorification of Yashoda Damodar.
Yes.
Now, of course, at the last verse in the Dhammarastakam, glorification of Radharani, you find that is that particular emphasis in our Gaudiya line is to finally help its members become more leaning towards, shall we say, understanding of Radharani?
Well, the Dhammarastakam, of course, the whole presentation of Kartik as a Brat, Kartik Brata, this comes from Sanatana Goswami, who compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas. And in Hari Bhakti Vilas, he's collecting quotations from all the Puranas. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako. And he's Nippon. Sanatana Goswami is expert or Nippon in establishing the Sadharma. So the Sadharma for Gaudiyas is the Prem Dharma, or Radha Krishna Prem. And specifically the loving service of Radharani's lotus feet, Radha Dasyam. So this is the Sad-Dharma for Gaudiyas. This is the ultimate or Sad-Dharma. So to establish that Sad-Dharma, he studied various Shastras. Nana means various Shastra. He studied all the shastras. So there, and he sees there's something known as Kartik Brata. And then when Rupa, then he saw also that they discuss in Padma Puran about a Devi. There's a Devi of Kartik, and her name is Urjeshwari Devi. And Urja itself, the word Urja means power, or powers, or opulences. So as one studies, because it's mentioned Urjeshwari in the Padma Puran, now Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they understood that this Urjeshwari mentioned in Padma Puran, who is the presiding goddess of Kartik, is actually none other than Srimati Radharani. So when Rupa Goswami writes in Stavamala, he says, Kartiki Devi Srimati Radha. Or if you read even earlier on, if you read in the Radha Sahasranam, which is compiled by Lord Shiva, spoken to Parvati, and there he also says, Kartiki Devi, she is one of the names of Radharani, that she is the goddess of Kartik. So the actual goddess to be worshipped in Kartik is Srimati Radharani. She is actually the Ishtadev of Kartik month. She is of course the repository or the source of all urja or all energies, Sarva Shakti Mayi. So the Six Goswamis, seeing that Kartik is a very special month, and of course this Damodar Leela took place in Kartik month. Usually they say it takes place today. Some acharyas say it takes place today. That Mother Yashoda bound Krishna with the ropes when he was 2 or 3 years old in Gokul on this day. Some say it's on Pratipat, which is tomorrow. At least it's today or tomorrow. If it is tomorrow, on that same day is the day when Krishna was 7, he lifted Govardhan Hill here in Vrindavan. And this pastime took place in Gokul, Damodar Leela. So this prayer, Satyabrata Muni, this prayer was written millions of years ago. Because these pastimes of Radha and Krishna are eternal. They're going on at every moment, one universe or another. And they're eternally existing in the Vedas, they're described. So Satyabrata Muni, he was in Vatsalya Bhav, so he's glorifying this Bhav, his Bhav. But he understands that all the Bhavas are coming from the heart of Radharani. All the Bhavas, all the ecstasies and ecstatic sentiments in terms of serving Krishna and loving Krishna, originating from Srimati Radharani. She's the source of all the Shaktis, all the female devotees, or the Shakti, the embodiments of Shakti are coming from her. And when you read Sanatana Goswami's commentary, he has a commentary in Damodarastakam, which Prabhupada's disciple, Dasara Suti, he translated into English, which was a Hindi, rather Bengali book, which was done by Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj for the Gaudiya Math, the Keshav Gaudiya Math. So he translated into Bengali the Sanskrit commentaries on Damodarastakam by Sanatana Goswami. Then he added his own commentaries. And then that was put into English by Dasarath. And the same book was put into Hindi language by His Holiness Srila Narayan Maharaj. You know, the same commentaries. So if you read in there, you see how Sanatana Goswami, he's including this prayer in Hari Bhakti Vilas. He's saying, here's how we should observe Kartik Brata. And he describes many things. And one thing he says is, Padma Purana is saying that every day during Kartik Brata, one should sing the Damodarastakam and offer a ghee-lamp to Radha Damodar. But if you read Hari Bhakti Vilas, so many verses, he says, Radharani is the Ishtadeva of Kartik month. So we follow Rupa and Sanatan. Rupa Raghunath and Rupa and Sanatan. This is our padati. So the reason we sing this prayer, which is told in the commentaries by Sanatana Goswami, is not that we're being directed to or induced to or meant to worship Yashoda Damodar. And even some temples, they put some picture of Yashoda Damodar on the altar or put some murti. This is not really proper Siddhanta. It's not really correct. Our Radha Madhav, our Radha Damodar, our Keshava, our Radha Vinod Bihari, our Radha Shama Sundar, they're all Radha Damodar. This month they take the mood of Radha Damodar. This month, Krishna takes our Radha Damodar, our Radha Madhav, our Radha Shama Sundar, our Shama Sundar, he assumes the mood of being bound by the Shuddha Bhakti of his devotee. So Yashoda is showing, it's called the Swanishta. It's called Swanishta there's two terms used in Sanskrit in that commentary. One's called Swanishta and Parnishta. Swanishta means one, let's put it in English, like it's hard for me sometimes. But Swanishta means, as you know, Nishta means firmness. Like Nishta means firmness or steadiness. So one Swanishta means your own determination, the determination of the Bhakta to capture Krishna with his love. And the other is Parinishta, the determination of Krishna to be bound by his devotee's love. And that's his characteristic. So this is being this is the month where Yashoda bound Krishna with her love. So she's showing as an ideal devotee in this particular bhav, this particular ras, she's showing how a devotee who is so much nishta and so much determined to bind Krishna with her love that Krishna can be bound. So we are supposed to take inspiration from that to bind Krishna with our own love, with our own swabhav, or our own, say, staibhav, of course, if that is realized. Or she's like a role model, not a role model for vatsalya bhav. And this bhajan is, and also, this whole bhajan is pointing us towards Sri Radhika, towards Radhika. So no one binds Krishna more than Radha, and that's why we worship Radha Damodar, and we worship the Radharani who binds Damodar in this month with the vines and the kunja, and that's in Brahma Vaivart Puran. But as far as Kartik as a brat, Kartik as a vow to be observed, the Puranas are telling that this Ashtakam, Damodar Ashtakam, should be sung in Kartik. So now, all Vaishnavas will sing this song. But when our acharyas import that or bring that into the Gaudiya conception, then they give their tikkas on it and explain how this is anukul, this is bhakti anukul for Mandri Bhav, for Madhuriya Bhav. And that's how it should be seen, how it should be understood. And that's why even Satyabrata Muni is saying, in case anyone gets confused here, remember, your Ishtadeva is Radhika. And especially because of that last verse is why Sanatana Goswami included it. But in one sense, he couldn't exclude it because he has to be true to the parampara of Vaishnavism, because all Vaishnavas sing this song, Damodar Mant. But the important thing is our Siddhanta. What is our Gaudiya Vedanta or our Siddhanta on this bhajan? And that should be all related to our sadhya or our Prayojana, which is Madhuriya Bhav, Braj Bhakti, in the mood of Mandri Bhav. So when you read Sanatana Goswami's commentary, because he's telling Hari Bhakti Vilas, he's telling this is Kartik Brata for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. You should do these things. And then someone might say, well, this is all about Vatsalya Bhav. Oh, by the way, also read here's a footnote in my Hari Bhakti Vilas. Please read my commentary on Damodar Ashtakam. So you will know why I included that as part of our Brata as Gaudiyas. As worshippers of Radha and Krishna, you will know why I included that as a required daily function in Kartik as our brat. So this is kind of a very quick summary of that commentary, which is quite large, and also there's very helpful and interesting commentaries by Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Maharaj to further make it accessible, because Sanatana Goswami wrote 500 years ago, and Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Maharaj wrote in 1960 or so, 58.
Have you seen various prayers of similar to Radha Damodar? Similar to the Damodar Ashtakam?
Have I seen a specific Ashtakam about Radha Damodar? Well, the only one that comes to mind is the Prabhupada's prayer when he was on there's four padas. One prayer when he's on the Jaladuta going to America. I think it's called maybe Markin Bhagavat Dharma. Or he's praying directly using the words to Radha Damodar. Oh, Radha Damodar, I'm so far away from you in Sevakunj. And this is very nice. There's at least one or two verses to Damodar. In a reflex way, that's the only thing that comes to mind. I haven't specifically seen any Radha Damodar Ashtakam because I haven't come across. But the thing is that the sentiments that Satyabrata Muni is expressing and this prayer, Damodar Ashtakam, are completely favorable for Madhuriya Bhakti. That is why it's given to us. And we should deeply enter it. All, if you go verse through verse, because I've been giving classes in Kartik for 20 years in India, and usually in Gopal Mandir here and there. And so many times I've gone through that book, and this year I decided I wouldn't go through it. I've gone through it. There's so many tapes where I'm giving classes, reading this book and discussing its relationship to our Siddhanta. So this year I didn't go through. It was very, very wonderful. Because Damodara, Vishnu, Ananta, every single one of those verses that Satyabrata Muni is speaking is all related to Madhuriya Bhav. So it's very much anukul for us. Otherwise Sanatana wouldn't give it to us. It's a mandate. Every day, when I was at Radha-Damodar, and this kind of sing so slow, but I stayed at Radha-Damodar Mandir for three kartiks, and when the Gaudiya Math people come and they come having kirtan, Namamishvaram sa chirananda rupam lasat kundala. They do four times around the temple and they stand in front of the deities, and they don't offer ghee lamp, they do in their own Radha Krishna deities when they go back to their own temple. But it's a must, and then when the commentaries, it's beautiful. I think anything else?
How many times a day it can be sung, Maharaj? And why only during Kartik? Why not whole the year?
That's also mentioned actually in the commentaries by Sanatana Goswami. He said this Sanatana Goswami is saying that this prayer is so much favorable for Madhurya Bhakti, it can be sung every day of the year. Sung and meditated on every day of the year. That very point is made there.
It should be sung during whole the year.
What should and shouldn't be done will be the dictate of your Shiksha and Diksha Guru and your own realizations. I'm not passing any shoulds or should nots. Because bhakti is Sarup Shakti of the Lord. It is independent. If it should and should not, then you're a Vaidhi, you're on the level of Vaidhi. When you're on the level of Rag, you don't ask any questions, you do it. If I love this girl, I'm not going to go write a letter to my uncle and say, "Dear uncle, can I kiss this girl? Please send me a report."